Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. It's Saturday, July 27th, 11:01 p.m., before the Midnight Hour, 2013. Broadcasting from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. In this evening's program, we have a special topic that we'll be sharing, a word from the Lord on holy fasting and holy fasting for the Lord. We know that in the United States, the church in the U.S. fasts only when it sleeps, or the church in the United States has fasting outright. We see throughout the land that food has become a problem and gluttony has become a problem. But I do know that there are many sincere saints that want to fast, would like to fast for the Lord, would like to buffet their body, as Paul proclaims, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Yet many struggle mightily, even with fasting a meal or two. And we have many examples in the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, and we'll touch on a few of those this evening, of the servants of the Lord that, as a matter of lifestyle and a matter of practice, they fasted and prayed often. And it wasn't, or it doesn't appear to be at least, that onerous and that difficult, not like what we see in the United States. And it's very rare to find a minister of the Lord in any capacity that regularly practices fasting. And all one really needs to do is look at the pulpit, and we will see a very corpulent group of alleged servants that have fed their flesh and gluttonized on things of the world and have become ensnared and entrapped in the flesh. But for those servants that would like to serve the Lord and fast and pray, there is hope and there is opportunity, for the portals of heaven are still open. And there are some things that are unique within our culture in the United States where fasting is made particularly difficult. And we have things within our diet that to even go one day and to make a distinction of fasting, just a food fast, not a dry fast, a fast of food and water, and I'll get into that in a little bit more detail. But just the ability to go one day in the United States without food is made particularly difficult from the diet that we have. And so we have a sugar and sucrose or sucrose addiction in the United States, where we have sugar and sucrose in just about everything. And so we know those that are chomping on the candies and the chocolates and the processed sweets and the pastries. And that type of sugar consumption, which is in mass quantities in the United States, does develop into an addiction. And so when a saint tries to fast, they're actually not just fasting food, but also an addiction to sugar, as an example. Another one that is throughout the diet and woven throughout our culture and our foods are the fats and oils. And so that's why sometimes people will be craving hot dogs and processed fats and fast foods, and which is nothing more than supersized fast fats. Another addiction, so when one tries to fast a few meals, there's the fat and oil addiction that will start to rear its ugly head and also make fasting, even for a day, particularly painful. Finally, we also have, or actually we're not even done yet, we have a sodium and salt addiction in the United States. And we'll see this in MSG, or there's sodium in all sorts of food. And you can read the labels here so that there's really no exaggeration. But for those saints that have tried fasting for the Lord and failed miserably, there is hope. There is great power in the mighty Holy Spirit to enable us. And by baby steps, we will get there, to fast a holy fast unto the Lord. It's not about losing weight. It's not about the things of the world. It's about doing the things in the Spirit. And as Paul would say, and we'll see in other scriptures, and also to buffet the flesh and to humble ourselves before the Lord, an affliction of the soul, so that we can hear more clearly in the Spirit as well. So there's the sodium, salt, MSG addiction, chips, frozen foods, dining out foods are laced and saturated with the sodium and MSG and salt. And then finally, we're almost at finally, and I'm sure there's more. These are the big ones. These are the ones that the multinational corporations, all the way from the food processors and the food companies, as well as the Starbucks and the fast food marketers, the McDonald's, the Burger Kings, and so on, are experts in, as well as the energy drinks. So we have the caffeine and the sodas, the teas and the energy drinks, chocolate yet again, which also has caffeine, a caffeine substitute. And so we have many, many saints. It's hard to live in the United States and not have several of these addictions unless you grow your own food. Never go to the store. Never go out to eat. Never eat while you're on the job. Never eat bleached bread, and so on and so forth. So it's very, very difficult. Most will have at least half of these addictions, and many will have most. So the caffeine is in the sodas, and the caffeine is in the energy drinks and through a number of the chocolates as well that we eat in the United States. So when we try to fast, do a holy fast unto the Lord, even for a day, these addictions will start to rear their ugly heads. The believer will fail midway through the day and then feel like a terrible spiritual failure. But the truth of the matter is, in the United States of America, we have an entire multinational industry that has reaped huge profits from creating addictive foods with addictive ingredients to continue the revenue and profit stream. And it's no exaggeration that we have the fattest country in the history of planet Earth. Obesity and supersize now is the standard in the United States, and it's reached to the healthcare proportions, and it's reached all the way into the junior high school level and even grade school level, and it's become a national epidemic. And you can almost look at the pictures without a timestamp in the United States, and you can tell when it starts to get modern and ultra-modern, people will begin to swell up in size from the addiction and the gluttony from the addiction of all of the food in the United States. Well, let's take a look at the Word of the Lord and what the Lord says, because he's given us many examples and great hope. And by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit and the blood and the cross breaks all addictions and all curses. And we see in the church too many signs of a life overrun by compulsion, obsession, depression, and addictions, because the blood and the cross has been diluted, sugar-coated. Why not? Everything else is sugar-coated. And the power of deliverance, the purchase price, the tremendous purchase price that Christ paid, has been diluted and cheapened. And tonight, we'll bring back into the house of the Lord the power of the blood and the power of the cross, the rugged cross, to overcome addictions, to overcome the diet addictions in the church, to be able to holy fast unto the Lord, a sacred fast. And we'll do these with baby steps here in the United States, and it's not expected that anybody will run out and begin fasting for an entire week. On the contrary, once you understand the ways and the precepts of the Lord, and then we see where we are, and we can repent from our sins, we can repent for the multinationals and the greedy executives that have created the massive addictions and fed off of them, if you will. Let's take a look and start as an example in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. And let's hear what the mighty Apostle Paul says. This is in the New Testament. There's many examples in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, because the church has become ultra-modern, she wants to be chic and contemporary, she often forgets that the ways of the Lord change not. The Lord himself changes not. And Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass. And so we'll use the New Testament to begin with, and we'll set a firm foundation. And this is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That's 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9. Verse 27. Same scripture, this is in Young's literal translation. We just read through the New King James Version. This is Young's literal translation. But I chastise my body and bring it into servitude, lest by any means, having preached to others, I myself may become disapproved. Paul did practice fasting and prayer. He did holy fasting unto the Lord. There were times that he even fasted when he didn't want to, from times of lack, but wanted to clearly point out that in the scriptures, that in the New Testament, that is the contemporary, the modern, the ultra-modern churches as an example, need to understand that the ways of the Lord have not changed. And we need to repent from thinking and agree with the Lord that we do need to chastise our bodies through fasting and bring it into servitude, lest even those of us that minister and preach become disapproved, disqualified, end up in destruction. So that's 1 Corinthians 9, 2. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 sets the example. This is the classic example found throughout the Bible. And we'll start at verse 1 in Daniel chapter 9. And we'll start, and this is in the Amplified version, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. In the first year of Darius, son of Hasarius, of the offspring of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books the number of years which, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass by before the desolations, before the desolations which had been pronounced on Jerusalem should end, and it was 70 years. And I set my face to the Lord God. This is verse 3, the target scripture. And I set my face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keeps covenant, mercy, and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and dealt perversely and done wickedly and have rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. That's Daniel chapter 9. We read up to verse 5. The beautiful example of the power of fasting. We see the prayer, the supplication, the fasting, and the sackcloth. And Daniel is obviously buffeting his flesh, walking in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is revealing sin. The same that we see in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21. The same Holy Spirit that we see reveal sin in Acts chapter 2, and the Lord is consistent in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. And he would be, that's the same Lord, for he changes not. And so while Daniel is fasting and praying and supplicating, he sees the sin of the land, the sin in his own life, in the sin of his people. And so the power of fasting, of holy fasting here, is the same power that is available to the church in the United States of America. It's very difficult to repent if one doesn't know what one needs to repent of. And if we're walking in the flesh and carnal all the time, and we see a church that's clearly gone carnal overboard, it is no wonder that repentance and prayer and supplication, but particularly repentance from sin, is so very foreign and such a very foreign concept in the land of the United States and also in the church in the United States. And so Daniel sets the example. We see this again with Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, we see Nehemiah say, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed for the God of heaven. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. So again, we see with Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, almost identical prayer that we see in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 7. It was Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 7. And the fasting, and the holy fasting, the saints of the Lord performed, enabled the servants of the Lord to pray in the Spirit to the Lord. And the Lord heard. And the Lord heard the prayers of Daniel. And the Lord heard the prayer of Nehemiah. And the Lord did hear the prayers of the mighty apostle Paul. And when we pray and fast and repent before the Lord, it is throughout Scripture the number one way in Jesus' mighty name to get the attention of our Heavenly Father, if you will. When we have sinned and live an unrepentant life, we are turning in the opposite direction from the Lord. Fasting, and holy fasting, buffets the flesh and enables us to walk in the Spirit and really confess and truly confess the sins that we have committed against the Lord, the ways that we have walked away and in rebellion. So holy fasting is a mighty, mighty tool in the arsenal of an end-time saint. So to overcome the addictions that we started in the beginning, spelled out, the sugar, the fats, the sodium, and the caffeine, to even be able to make it one day, these are things that only the mighty Holy Spirit will be able to deliver us from by the power of the blood of the Lamb and the cross. These are addictions that are throughout the land, and versus the diet and the habit and the culture that we see from the servants of the Lord, whether Old Testament or New Testament, they didn't live like we live here. They didn't have the option to supersize anything. They didn't have the option to eat day and night as we do. They didn't have the option to throw away as much food as we have in the United States of America. And they certainly didn't walk around as gorged and corpulent as we have, sedated with all of the chemicals and addictive properties of the food that are produced in the United States that make it that much more difficult to fast even a day. So from a practical perspective, the best alternative going forward, instead of taking a one day, we will fast one entire day, it's best to start with just one meal, whether that's breakfast or lunch or dinner, starting out fasting one meal unto the Lord, a holy fast. Again, has nothing at all to do with calorie counts or dieting or obesity, but this is a fast and an affliction unto the Lord, a time to dedicate and to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The example, again, that's given to us is in Galatians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, isn't that all too true? In the flesh, when we say, oh, well, let's fast, we want to go and walk in the Spirit, and yet the flesh and the addictions begin to rear their ugly heads. And here Paul is sharing a profound truth, that it's at that point in time that we walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And so, since these things are beyond the control, where you grew up in the United States of America, it's beyond your control, and that's the exact definition of an addiction, one that has taken control, we hand it over unto the Lord. In fact, that's exactly what they teach in any of the addiction overcoming 12-step courses, such as AA, NA, Gamblers Anonymous, and on it goes. They do understand the biblical precept that it is in the hands of the Lord and out of control of the saint. And that's what we have. We have a situation in the States where everyone has become terribly addicted to many chemicals, salt, sugar, fats, caffeine, that it's only the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, back to the blood and the cross, which breaks all curses. The power of the blood and the cross breaks all addictions. And we trust the Lord to do that when we walk in the Spirit. So starting out, just fasting one meal is an excellent start and an excellent practice in walking in the Spirit. And then as that practice goes on, it will be easier to fast two meals in a day. Maybe it's breakfast and lunch, maybe it's lunch and dinner. And I know in the United States, most people do eat a lot more than three times a day. In fact, people eat all day long. One of the things you will find as you dedicate this time of fasting unto the Lord, as you thought it might have been just a meal, but the reality of it is you will find that, oh, you ate in the morning, you ate on your way to work, you ate at your desk at the office or in the truck on the way to work, and you will find that, as throughout all of America, actually eat all day long. And we do. We even eat in the house of the Lord. And we snack all day long, and it doesn't take much of an eye to see that an entertainment-driven culture and a carnally-driven church would end up feeding the flesh nonstop. And so just taking that one meal and that block of time, starting one baby step at a time, whether it's breakfast or lunch, I recommend lunch. Mostly because that's where the habits you will see, and the Lord will begin to show you other things that we do and take for granted on a daily basis. And your spiritual eyes will be opened as you walk in the Spirit and begin fasting lunch. You'll begin to see how everyone else is, but most importantly, how we have taken so many things for granted, and how we are so much driven by habit and addiction, And then it's important to understand that when we fast, as the Lord says, the Lord Jesus, in the New Testament, again, the contemporary ultra-modern churches have removed many of these scriptures, obviously, because it may seem old-fashioned to them, but the ways of the Lord, he changes not. In the New Testament, Jesus is very clear that when we fast, we're not to advertise it and not to be as the Pharisees and the Sadducees that, you know, make themselves look sad and made themselves look, you know, made themselves look like they were fasting and just in a miserable state. But we're called not to do that and do a holy fast unto the Lord. So even for the one meal, I wouldn't advertise it. And if you have, you know, folks at work that you go out to lunch for, sometimes it might be unavoidable to say I'm fasting today. Also, I have found it is a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal witness opportunity to share the gospel. Because even if you fast for a day, as an example, and you're in a business environment or you're in a social environment, and it does get awkward when people want to go to lunch or they want to go here and they want to eat there. We're eating all the time in America. You'll find that out as soon as you begin fasting for more than half a day. The opportunity arises, and it is amazing the impact even on the non-believer. They understand intuitively holy fasting. It's something the Lord has placed in us because he's placed in us a heart of worship for him. That's what we were made to do. That's why you will find people worshiping money instead, or they're worshiping sex, or they're worshiping success. We were made to worship. We were made to worship the Lord. And when we fall into rebellion, you will see people worshiping all manners of abomination, including money, sex, power, prestige, youth, children, wives, husbands, and we will begin to manufacture idols. And the heart is a type of idol factory if we don't worship the Lord. So we're made to worship the Lord, and intuitively, those that begin to see, oh, he's fasting again today, or she's fasting again today, I'll say, oh, this God must be real. This God is listening. And they will begin to watch. And they will begin to watch the saint and the believer to see how they act and to see if their walk measures up with the talk. So it is a phenomenal witnessing opportunity, both what one can share verbally, but also how you go about the day in the natural and in the physical. The example we have in Scripture is Isaiah 58, Isaiah chapter 58. And this is an excellent example of how not to fast and how we are to behave while we're fasting, even in our approach unto the Lord, even for when we start with just one meal. This is just even one meal. It matters not. It's our heart condition as we approach the Lord with the holy fast. This is Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, says the Lord, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all of your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Hallelujah. That is Isaiah chapter 58. What we are to do while we're fasting, and an excellent word of the Lord, again, as relevant then, for he's speaking it today, what we are to do and not to do in holy fasting. So it was not uncommon, when fasting was a common practice, for people to want the Sabbath to be over so that they could buy and sell grain. We can read that specifically in Amos chapter 8. It was not uncommon to fast and to strive and fight. And of course, one will need to guard against irritability in the flesh. And that's the other benefit of holy fasting. We will see all the sins that are pent up in the flesh, in the tent, and they will be exposed. And we will see that the tent that we live in is very sinful, and the flesh is hostile to the spirit. And so as we start holy fasting, even with one meal, one will begin to see the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will begin to show, particularly here, the end time saints in the United States of America. That's Isaiah chapter 58 on the fasting that pleases the Lord. So we touched on briefly the addictions in the United States, which makes it a bit unique, fasting even a few meals here. But as you go through one meal and the Lord will lead you forward, you might see a breakthrough very soon where you can go several meals to the point you reach an entire day. And an entire day of fasting is a glorious thing unto the Lord. And the Lord will begin, and they will begin to show you things as you're fasting and walking in the Spirit. And one thing is for certain, the benefit, without a doubt, is the Lord will begin to show you sin in your life that you can repent from. And it's not possible to repent unless we know the sins to repent from. And there's nothing like fasting to show that. also an ideal time to pray and for as the flesh melts away. Well, as we read in the scripture, the flesh is hostile to the spirit and the spirit likewise to the flesh. It becomes much easier to pray the will of the Lord. And we have seen oftentimes through scripture, you have not because you ask not, because when you ask amiss. That is, we're asking for things in the flesh. We say, oh, I want a new house. I need a new job. I need a new husband. I need a new car. I need to win this. And these are things of the flesh. But as we're fasting, and the flesh begins to die off, now suddenly we begin to make prayers in the spirit that agree with the Lord. And these are prayers that will become heard, prayers of salvation, prayers of filling with righteousness, prayers of peace with one's enemies, as an example, prayers of deliverance from addiction, deliverance from sin. These are the prayers that we ask, and indeed, the Lord meets them, and we have the answer to our prayers. And we are not those that have not, because we're not asking amiss when we're fasting and praying and walking in the Spirit, because then we're walking in agreement with the Lord. We're repenting from sin. We're walking in righteousness and holiness. And the Spirit, as Paul teaches, by the mighty Holy Spirit, begins to make utterances for us. And this is the power of holy fasting. What a mighty tool. The Holy Spirit would well up and move mightily in our lives and even begin to intercede and give us the words that our carnal flesh and our minds are not able to produce, really not even able to understand. So begin with one meal in holy fasting and begin to work that and dedicate that to the Lord. The Lord must be the focus. This has nothing at all to do with dieting, losing weight, getting into a new dress, getting into the old suit. No, not at all. That's the wrong focus. That's the focus of the world. This is a focus unto the Lord, a holy fast unto the Lord. And what you will find as the walk continues, be able to go from one or two meals to an entire day, and then a couple more days. And then when you get to 3 days, the hunger pains begin to subside, sometimes sooner than 3 days. And as you go on beyond that, there are, given our diet restrictions in the United States and given our diet addictions, most of us are malnourished, and I can only speak from my own experience going more than 3 days and going many, many days beyond that. Started to get very lightheaded from the malnutrition, and that's not a good sign, and so we need to do this very wisely, and that's why I just start out with one meal. What happens after 3 days, though, is the hunger does go away. The hunger pains do go away, and it does become easier and not as difficult. And then when one breaks the fast, you need to start eating food very lightly. Obviously don't go out and start eating fast food or gorging oneself. Then there's the dry fast. So we touch on it very briefly. The dry fast is fasting food and water. And so what we'll see sometimes with people fasting is they'll start drinking, sodas, which has a lot of calories and sugars and fats in them, milkshakes. Hey, it's not food, it's fluid. And then it goes on and on. And the nice thing about dry fasting is there's no fooling around with that. You're neither eating nor drinking. And I know that in Kenya, as an example, they will dry fast many days. And just from my own personal experience, I have only dry fasted for 1 day. And in the United States, I don't think we're in the condition at all from a diet perspective to be able to do as they do in their culture in Kenya for as long as they have, where they do go 3-5 days, no food and no water, they dry fast. And that's something that as time goes on, as the believer moves on and walks in the Spirit and the Lord enables, then so be it. I'm just speaking from personal perspective. One day entirely of dry fasting was as long as I was able to go comfortably. And I was amazed at how quickly I began to look dehydrated. And that was likely from the massive sodium in our diet. But it was glorious. It was wonderful. And it was a phenomenal experience. And that is something that most people would really start to freak out on without medical supervision. You know, oh, I'd go on to do a dry fast, but when I need my doctor and nutrition next to me and an IV in case something happens. Not everybody is in physical condition to do that, obviously. But again, start with baby steps, one meal. Most people truly in the United States could go weeks without food before anything would happen from a medical perspective. However, from very, the language would be cautious, take it very cautiously in baby steps. Start with one meal, and the Lord will begin to give victories and begin to show additional areas that can be overcome, and additional sins will be shown. And it'll be a glorious time of praying unto the Lord, time dedicated unto the Lord, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, to get right with the Lord, to walk righteously with him, and the Lord will grow the believer from those baby steps. One more scripture for the evening, and this is Malachi 3, verses 13 through 18. This is yet another benefit of the holy fast unto the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, just five verses, verses 13 through 18. Your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it if we keep his ordinances and walk gloomily, and as if in mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts? And now we consider the proud and arrogant to be happy and favored. Evildoers are exalted and prosper. Yes, and when they test God, they escape unpunished. Then those who feared the Lord talked often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. This is Amplified Version. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. So we see in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, that those who fasted and prayed and mourned before the Lord were often mocked and ridiculed. And there were others in the body of believers. There were others in the congregation that were speaking harshly against the Lord. They were speaking harshly because what profit was there in serving the Lord? For the wicked were doing well. That's what we see today, don't we? We see the wicked prospering. The wicked prevail in court. They can buy the best attorneys. The wicked prevail in business. The more corrupt and criminal they are, the more revenue and profits they reap. Look at how well they are doing, and what about the children of the Lord? But those of us that the Lord has called, walk humbly before him. the Holy Fast in the morning, and as we fellowship in the edifying words that we speak, that we fear the Lord. The Lord says he listens and hears. And in the Book of Life, the remembrance is written to those who reverence and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. The mighty Holy Spirit is the one that opens our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. He is the one that's central in our life. He is God. By the Spirit of the Lord who hovered over the waters, the Lord created planet Earth. It's the mighty Holy Spirit that the end time church here in the United States must rely upon to overcome the addictions. That's the power of the blood and the cross. For it is written, the power of the blood and the cross to break every curse, cover every sin and iniquity. We have the power of the mighty Holy Spirit to overcome sin as well. And we see overcome many times commanded by the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 to him who overcomes. And we overcome by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit to overcome the addictions and the gluttony, to be able to holy fast unto the Lord. We start humbly with one meal, and then as the Lord leads and as the Lord grows, so that the children of the Lord, particularly in the United States, don't get overly discouraged from failure. And I've talked to so many that won't even try now because of the utter failure and the irritation and the addictions that reared their head. So the end time saints need to understand that the Lord does know exactly where we are. He knows exactly the number of addictions that are coursing about the country and also resident within the believers upon those that call upon his name. And he's the mighty deliverer. And the mighty Holy Spirit is there to set the church free from her addictions and carnality and gluttony, the sins that have beset the land, the sins that have made the church look even worse than the world, the sins that we see in the house of the Lord, what the church calls herself, modern, contemporary, and that's a nice way of saying she's compromised totally and entirely with the world. But the Lord has called us out, and as we read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 18, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. Holy fasting, many, many examples in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:27 in the New Testament, Nehemiah chapter 1, Malachi chapter 3. Another one is Acts 13 chapter 2. We see while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So we hear from the Holy Spirit as we fast and pray. And we see this in the book of Acts, which is obviously in the New Testament. And as we see our Lord, he changes not. He's glorious. He's bedecked with majesty, always doing things in such spectacular style. And here we see in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit come and say, after they were fasting and in prayer, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. very glorious. We have Acts chapter 13, 2. Also, Mark chapter 9, verse 29. And the Lord Jesus replied to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." And again, holy fasting, mighty, powerful. Focus upon the blood and the cross through the mighty Holy Spirit. Addictions are broken. Lives are restored. Relationships are restored. Most importantly, the end time saint restores and walks in accordance and in agreement with the Lord. For it's the Lord who reached out to us and called us first to restore us into relationship with him. And when we fast and do a holy fast unto the Lord, we have that opportunity to walk in agreement with the Lord, that our prayers are heard, and an opportunity to hear from the mighty Holy Spirit as well. And we saw that and just read in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. So we're out of time for this segment on holy fasting. I pray that those that have heard, and I know that there are many that have a heart to fast for the Lord, begin in baby steps, refer to the word of the Lord, rely upon the mighty Holy Spirit, and do these things in baby steps. The Lord knows exactly where you are, and he also knows where we need to be, and we know that Jesus Christ, he is the author and finisher of our faith. We walk in agreement with the Lord. We walk with him in righteousness. We walk with him in holiness. We repent from our sins. And the mighty Holy Spirit, he does the work. That's his job. And he will point us to the cross. And he will finish the work that the Lord started within us. And it's a glorious work to prepare us for the coming of the Messiah. So that's it for this segment of Holy Fasting. And until the Lord leaves, until the next segment, shalom, shalom.